This is Ian Pickus for WAMC News. New York Times reporter Tripp Gabriel covered the presidential election last year. In recent months, he's been heading into areas of red states to report on the people there and how they feel. The paper recently ran an eye-opening series on long-haul truckers. Young and old alike expressed ambivalence about a career that keeps them away from home for long stretches. Tripp Gabriel joins us now.
Good to be here.
Why did you want to focus on truckers?
It wasn't a political motivation. In fact, I didn't really talk about politics with the truckers I interviewed. It was more economically. I mean, I had done some reporting about a unionized steel mill in Indiana that shut down last year, and about 600 union people with well-paying jobs have been laid off, and I was curious what happened to them. A good number went into trucking, and they quickly learned that the pay is a whole lot lower than what they'd been making in an aluminum smelter, and the lifestyle is really tough. I mean, you're often away from home for weeks at a time. So I just realized, you know, I travel around a lot for kind of work I do, and like everyone else, you know, you see trucks everywhere on the highways, and I realized I didn't know very much about the folks that drive those vehicles.
Tell us a little bit about what you found out. How much money can they make in that line of work?
The top line number, the average that the federal sort of Labor Department will tell you sounds okay. About $43,000 a year is the average for long-haul truckers. The reality is that the figure itself is not as good as it sounds. I mean, first of all, truckers are probably putting in 70 to 80 hours a week. So when you do the math on that $43,000 or so, it's not a very high, you know, per hour rate. And relatively to about a generation ago, it's about half what the driver is doing the same kind of work used to earn.
Wow. And say a little bit more about what the lifestyle is like. There was an important facet to the story about this 14-hour limit. Could you explain that?
Yeah, there are federal rules about, you know, for that are, you know, written for good reasons, limiting how much time drivers can drive. I mean, they're allowed to be behind a wheel for any 11 hours in a 14-hour window they're allowed to drive, and then they have to take a 10-hour break, which sounds fine. The reality, though, is that drivers are paid not by the number of hours they're behind the wheel. Most of them are paid largely by the number of miles they cover. So all kinds of stuff can happen within a 14-hour window to take a big chunk out of the amount of time you're on the road. I mean, you get stuck in a traffic jam for 3 or 4 hours when you're delivering or picking up a load. The warehouse workers can take hours to load you, and all that cuts into that window of time that you're allowed to be behind the wheel. So drivers are under a tremendous amount of pressure. I mean, they feel it all the time. They don't, you know, necessarily sleep very well. They might be waking up in the middle of the night to go pick up a load. Every time that, you know, if you think as a regular automobile driver that, you know, your blood pressure starts to climb when you're, you know, in the beltway, you know, trying to get to work, you know, if you're being paid by how many miles you're actually covering, you know, the pressure is enormous.
A common theme in the interviews that were featured in the piece was really loneliness among the truckers. And you heard that again and again in these interviews, right?
I did. You know, the drivers are like, I guess, like, you know, cowboys in some ways, except that, you know, they're not working. You see them together, you know, in any truck stop. There could be hundreds of trucks, but you know, the cabs today are kind of mobile living units. You know, they have they spend endless hours and endless days and often, you know, weeks at a time, pretty much on their own. You know, driving, sleeping in their cabs. You know, I interviewed drivers at a truck stop in Illinois, and I was struck by, even though there was a section of the restaurant reserved for professional drivers only, you know, and it was full, all these folks were pretty much, you know, eating alone and isolated. You know, they weren't chatting with one another. They were, you know, kind of sitting there having their meals and, you know, staring off, you know, into space or perhaps on their phones or something. But it's even in a kind of group setting, it's not necessarily a social kind of job. So and they spoke of loneliness. One woman I interviewed, you know, talked about picking up actually a relative to drive her from Texas to California to home, and she said, you know, for the 2 days we spent together, I mean, we almost never communicated. We never spoke. I sort of lost the ability to have a human conversation.
Yeah. When you were doing these interviews and talking with these truckers, did they have a sense that they were doing a line of work that might be antiquated in the near future?
That's a tough question, and none of us really want to face the fact that our jobs could be become obsolete, you know, because of robots or other forms of automation. And there's an awful lot of chatter in the news media, about driverless trucks, autonomous vehicles. I mean, we can see it. You know, those of us who drive cars a lot can see it coming. And there have been some tests in there in the trucking industry, and there's going to be, you know, clearly some more automation coming to trucks. The actual kind of time horizon is pretty unclear on this. So a lot of the older truckers, you know, they say, well, I'll be retired by then. I did ask it of a number of young people, like in their 20s, who are just getting into it. And they're not deeply troubled, but I think in the back of their minds, they realize that, their horizon, you know, as truckers might not be that long.
And just to clarify, I mean, how important is the trucking industry to the U.S. economy?
Well, you know, Ian, think of everything that you're using today, you know, the whatever you ate for breakfast, you know, the laptop computer you may be working on, you know, the clothes that you put on, the vehicle you drive, everything that we use in a day came to us on a truck, almost everything, unless we grew our own food. But, you know, it really undergirds the trucking undergirds the national economy. It is how we get stuff. I mean, we all, you know about the interstate system that, you know, President Eisenhower, you know, initiated in the 1950s. It was really done not to help us all drive on vacation to Florida, but, you know, to speed interstate commerce. And, you know, our economy is truly very dependent on long-haul trucking.
You've covered politics in the past for the paper, and we're speaking at a time when the president has labeled the New York Times a failing fake news operation. So what's it been like to be in the Times newsroom during this era?
Well, I think Times people in particular are pretty inured to that particular criticism. I mean, you know, the president likes to talk about the failing New York Times, which, you know, I will correct the record. We're actually doing pretty well, in no small part due to people's interest in news, you know, since the election of President Trump. But, you know, methinks he doth protest too much. I mean, he's in many ways, he's the most successful president we've seen in a long time. I mean, he's very concerned about what the New York Times says about him. A couple of our reporters, Maggie Haberman, you know, in particular, you know, have his ear. He wants the New York Times to be writing about him. I mean, he returns the phone calls from the New York Times. So even though he wants to, you know, cast aspersions on the Times, he's also called it a jewel. He was here in our building, you know, before inauguration and used that term. And, you know, I personally don't take it particularly seriously, or, you know, I don't think most of my colleagues do either.
Trip Gabriel of the New York Times, and we were talking about a special feature on America's long-haul truckers. Trip, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for your reporting.
You bet, Ian. Good to talk to you.